welcome everybody to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Eric Horn. I'm in studio joined by Maddie Lee once again. She's back from vacation.
Sorry, I left you guys hanging last week.
They were hurt. That laugh and ticking in the background is the car and voice of Eric Woodyard of the Deseret News. He covers the Utah Jazz for Deseret News in Salt Lake City. But you're not in Salt Lake City right now, are you, Eric?
No, I'm back in Flint, man. So I've been back in Flint, Michigan, been running around with my son, you know, so I've been trying to enjoy this little time, man, but he got me busy, so it's been crazy.
What does he have you doing? Is he involved in, is he basketballing? Is he the next Donovan Mitchell? What's the deal?
I hope so, man. Hopefully he infatuated with Michael Jordan, so he loved Mike, man. He in kindergarten. He just started kindergarten, playing in a little basketball league already, so it's been pretty cool.
Flint, Michigan, man. We usually let people open up by giving a little bit of background, and I think it's a great place to start with you being a guy from Flint and how just connected you are to your community. You got it all over your Twitter page. You know, you've written about it. Just tell people a little bit, people who listen to the Thunder Buddies podcast, because you've been on before when we were in Utah, but yeah. Just give people a little bit of a refresher about how you got to where you are now.
Yeah, man, born and raised in Flint. I graduated from Western Michigan University, and I came back to my hometown of Flint and worked home for about 6 years. So when I was in high, back home working in Flint at the Flint Journal, I covered some NBA players, man, while they was in high school. Miles Bridges, Monte Morris, and Kyle Kuzma, they all were in high school, and I got a chance to cover them. And so that was a great opportunity. And when the Utah Jazz had an opening, and people thought I was crazy to go to Salt Lake City, and it turned out to be the best decision I made. So I've been at the Deseret News the last 2 seasons, and it's been an amazing experience.
Fun fact, we overlapped in Salt Lake for a year.
Yeah, Salt Lake City, yeah. Yeah, Maddie, you was out there doing your thing too. But yeah, I had to come in and just, you know, build myself from the ground up. I didn't know nothing about Salt Lake City outside of Stockton Malone, and I just had to, you know, came into a great situation. Donovan Mitchell was a rookie, and they projected to do really big things this year, so it's been fun.
Yeah, I think Salt Lake City gets a bad rap. It's actually one of my favorite NBA cities, and I think, you know, one of your colleagues on the beat, Tony Jones, he actually, you know, expressed some of this on Twitter in the past few days. Like, Salt Lake City is really a beautiful place. It's a really cool place, and I think it tends to get overshadowed when jackasses like the guy who was at the Utah game with Russell Westbrook and that situation kind of, you know, get national attention. But right. Salt Lake City's a cool place, man.
Yeah, it's dope, man. Like I said, coming from Michigan, I didn't know nothing about Salt Lake. But when I got there, you know, it's very beautiful, man. It's very, very peaceful. The scenery is amazing. It's a lot of people come out there. I feel like, you know, it's very underrated. And the underrated, I'm sure Tony Jones told y'all, this is an underrated pickup basketball town. So we play a lot of pickup ball. You know,
nah, Tony never mentions the pickup game ever.
I like the pickup legend of Tony Jones, who works for The Athletic now. For y'all who don't know, Tony's a great writer. Yeah. But Tony's pickup legend is it's world renowned now. It's taken a life of its own.
He is.
Like, as good of an offseason as the Jazz had. They didn't get Tony Jones, which I think is a miss. That's a miss. Look, I got to knock the Jazz down a peg. If they would have got Tony, and Tony's my guy, I can talk this way. They might have been up for the one or the two seed. Instead, I've got the Jazz probably around like 3 or 4, something like that.
Yeah, Tony, everybody got a story about Tony. Man, that's my guy, man. He welcomed me from day one, man, and put his arms around me, and man, the dude is just hilarious, man. I feel like somebody need to do a feature story about him, man. He got some funny stories.
He's great. He's great, and he's kind of perfect to cover the Jazz too. And I mean, we could jump right into it. Like, you know, I gave you a little bit of homework. You can work on it on the fly. We've been talking to people, or I've talked to one person over the course of the week, but we've had a couple of different people on the podcast in the off season. I started this week with part one of the Northwest Division preview, talking to John Krasinski of The Athletic. You're number two, Eric, talking about
number
the Jazz.
Number one in our hearts.
Number one in our hearts, obviously.
Yeah, I appreciate that,
y'all. Obviously. But look, we mentioned briefly the Jazz's off season. Nobody in the league I mean, aside from the Clippers and their massive move, maybe the Lakers, well, with Anthony Davis. But I don't know if anybody in the league besides the Clippers and the Lakers, and then I guess you can count Brooklyn, but you kind of can't because Durant's not there just yet. But that's, I mean, that's a big move over the course of the next couple years. The Jazz had a big-time offseason. And, I mean, you're preparing to cover a team that should be one of the top four seeds, unquestionably, in the Western Conference. Where do you see the ceiling for this team? What do you think of the moves that they made in the offseason?
Man, I think they had one of the best offseasons in the league, and I'm just saying that because I'm around. But, I mean, just looking at the, you know, the moves they made, obviously with Mike Conley, Bogdanovich, you know, even bringing in Jeff Green, Ed Davis, you know, those guys. I think a big hole that they're going to have, you know, we're going to see how they can respond defensively. I think Derek Favors brought a lot of things defensively that people don't really understand, man. So, I mean, filling that hole of Derek Favors not being there is going to be huge. You know, the toughness of Jay Crowder. You know, so I'm not sure how the toughness will that be. I know Bogdanovich is tough, but I don't know if he's as tough as Jay Crowder. And you know, offensively, I think they'll definitely improve. But I want to see what they do defensively. And yeah, like I said, they couldn't ask for a better offseason, though.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see how they play without Rudy on the floor, because you know you did lose Derek Favors, who you said was very valuable. I think Ed Davis is going to be one of the more underrated, you know, pickups. Of the summer. He's a guy who can play, you know, the five, and you can have him play the five in second units, and I think that that's a guy that's a really valuable piece in just his rebounding and his energy and his right. physicality. I look at Utah's roster, and I look at one of the deeper rosters now in the league, you know, a roster that can go 10 or 11 deep in the regular season. That's obviously going to get pared down once the playoffs come. But it allows for you for more, you know, leeway when it comes to injuries and things of that nature, because I think that Utah did as good a job of any team in the league at addressing depth. And when I think about it, benefiting the player benefits more than anybody is Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, for sure.
And particularly with the Conley acquisition.
Right. Yeah, man. I think, you know, a lot of times he put up big points, but you saw some inefficiency because he had to do a lot. I mean, Ricky Rubio was great, but he can't create like – I mean, that's just a fact. He can't create like Mike Conley. And I think Mike Conley has a chip on his shoulder as well. You know, you saw him and Donovan connect right away. They were working out as soon – like before the trade was even official, man, they was already working out and trying to develop chemistry. And I think they're really trying to win a championship. I think that's really the goal. And, yeah, I think Donovan's going to benefit tremendously. And he's also – had a full offseason to train. I don't think a lot of people, you know, understood after his rookie year, you know, he was dealing with that foot injury. So he really didn't have a lot of time to train last offseason. So, you know, he's working out, you know, he's playing Team USA basketball. And I think, you know, that addition to Conley is really going to help his game thrive. I see him getting maybe up to 25 points a game easily, you know.
Just moving into, I mean, you often see a jump in that third year, too, and I know there are really high expectations in the second year that he didn't necessarily meet, but what aspects of his game do you expect to really grow in this year three?
I think decision-making, that's a big part, you know, decision-making, making the right plays. You know, sometimes he had to force a lot because he was asked to do so much offensively, so I think you'll see him making a lot better decisions. His shooting percentage should go up. I also think defensively he'll be able to lock in a little more because he won't have to exert so much energy on offense. So I think those would be the main areas. I know he's also trying to, you know, develop a mid-range game a little bit as well. You know, so I think those would be the points of his emphasis that he'll improve on.
Yeah, and I don't think you can rule out the impact that Team USA is going to have on him as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Just being around the guys he's going to be around in that competitive setting, and he has been around all summer. Whether the U.S. wins or loses FIBA World Cup, which starts this weekend, I think that that's going to be a valuable experience for Donovan Mitchell, you know, just being a guy that's going to be a leader on that team.
Yeah, I compare it to, like, I mean, we hear this a lot. People compare him to Dwayne Wade, and I'm not saying he's definitely not on that level yet. Don't get it wrong. I don't think he's
– Say it.
I think Dwayne
say
Wade
it, Eric.
Is the third.
Say it. He's better than Dwayne Wade. Just say
oh
it, all right?
Oh, my gosh.
No way. I think D Wade is the third greatest shooting guard of all time, so that's how I feel about D Wade. But I think if you look at like how the Dream Team, I mean like the Redeem Team and playing Team USA basketball, how that helped Dwayne Wade in those years, I think it could be similar way to help Donovan as well, being around those players. And him and Kemba Walker kind of have developed a little relationship, and, you know, going against an all-star like him every day, learning and taking techniques. So I think this will really help him kind of in the way it helped D Wade.
You know, it'd be nice for the Jazz, you know, to get a high seed this year, strictly from the standpoint of just them being able to avoid the Rockets. You know, right. And even last year they probably didn't get the seed they wanted to. I think the Jazz were fifth.
No, they definitely didn't.
Did they end up fifth or fourth?
I think they ended up fifth, because Houston was four, and it literally went down to the last day.
So right, right.
They ended up winning, and then Houston lost, and then ended up shaking everything up. And yeah, those slow starts, man. I mean, that's really been their Achilles heel. The slow starts, man. I mean, Donovan's first year, they was 19-28. You know what I mean? Yeah. And last year they started slow. Part of it has been the scheduling. Other part been injuries. They just kind of just started slow. I think even that effect, even in the All-Star voting, I mean, you know, when kind of a narrative kind of gets built around the team within that first half of the season. So, yeah, I think they got to start off a lot.
Is their schedule more balanced to start the year? Because I know they had a lot of road games to start the year last year.
Yeah, and last that really year was put rough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't even playing, and we felt it as reporters, man.
Yeah.
It was like, man, this schedule was brutal. You know, and I can imagine actually playing in that. So, yeah, I think that schedule really played a factor. But it's not as tough this year as it has been the last 2 years.
Aside from Mike Conley, who do you think is the biggest acquisition that they made this summer?
I'd probably say you got to say Bogdanovich, you know, for sure. But, I mean, you can't underestimate Jeff Green. And I'm also interested in seeing what Moutier will do. You know, he's putting it in a great situation where him and Dante Exum is going to be fighting for that backup spot. So I think it's going to re-energize both of those guys to bring the best out of them, and I think that was a good pickup for them as well. I think he'll be solid in that system and working with Coach Snyder.
We saw it at the NBA Awards where Mike Conley immediately seemed to be very excited about the Jazz and very vocal about this move and his expectations. What sort of effect has that had just on the fan base or on the team?
Man, they've been super, super. I mean, the Jazz fans are, you know that, Maddie, from being out in Utah. I mean, they love the Jazz. That's all they have. So. But I think, you know, this addition to Mike Conley instantly puts them, you know, ready to compete for a championship. And he's embraced the city. I think Utah, what I get from it in the time I've been there, they really put their arms around people that want to be there. I mean, I feel like it's always that negative stigma, you know, that players don't want to be there. So when players do come there and say that they want to play, Utah just puts their arm around them immediately and they become fan favorites. So I think Mike Conley coming into the situation, saying all the right things, I think he's really won over Jazz fans, and now he just got to go out and produce it.
You know what's going to happen, though, right?
What?
Now that Russell Westbrook's on the Rockets,
oh man,
it's going to be we're gonna get a situation where we get another 4-5 series,
yeah,
or they meet in the second round.
Yeah.
They're going to end up. I feel like they're going to end up playing again.
I think they're going to end up playing again.
Because we'll get into the where you think these standings are going to fall in the Western Conference, yeah. But I've got the Jazz at 3, and I've got the Rockets at 4.
I do too.
Which would make for, I guess, a second round matchup. Would that make for a second round matchup, a 3-4?
I think. Well,
I always get that confused. I'd have to go look at the brackets.
It's 1-8-2-6. Well, no, 1-8-2-7-3-6. 4-5. So no, that wouldn't.
And then second
wouldn't,
round.
Second round. They would possibly meet in second round. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It would actually, if there were a 3-4, they would meet in the Western Conference Finals. Is what it would happen.
Yeah.
So you know what? If they get the 3-4, then that good. They could prolong the craziness,
the rehashing of
the rehashing and the ridiculousness and Russell kind of coming in there and it being a very interesting situation for Jazz fans and Russell.
And Eric was right in the middle of all that,
man,
last
that's,
time.
Man, that
Eric, how did you get that video? Because your video was the video that blew up when the fan was talking to Westbrook, and you got all of the Westbrook reaction. You didn't get the initial fan saying the stuff, but you got basically Westbrook talking back to the fan. Was that you actually in that position?
No. So it was a crazy situation, man. Obviously, you know, we covered the, you know, we all covered them the first year in Utah, and OKC played, and you know, it was all the madness with Russ talking about the fans, and it was a lot of different fans coming, players coming in. Even KD came later, and I had done a story about the fans' relationship with the players about, you know, them complaining, but we hadn't had proof. You know, so that was something I always watch when certain players come in. And I think I tweeted something out like round two with Russ and the fans or something like that. And then like 2 minutes later, I got an anonymous email from a fan. And he was like, well, you probably didn't see this, Eric, but you can use it. Just don't attach my name to it.
Right.
So they shot the video and gave it to me. So I put, you know, as soon as I got it, I put it out. And, you know, obviously we went back there. Russ said his statement of what he had to say. And then the next day, you know, they end up banning the guy. They found out all the information, and I ended up getting another video actually from the first playoff series where it was a fan, you know, calling Russ a boy, you know, and I had got that footage, and it was another fan who basically said the same thing. I just don't want my name attached to it, but it's yours. So I put that out, and then that's when I broke the story about the Jazz band and the second fan. And it was just being around, like kind of developing a relationship with fans where they can trust me with things, and you know, just going to like different community and fan events, and that's how I got them, man. Just like fan hit me up about it, and I put it out there, and like you say, it blew up, man. It got like 4 million views on Twitter. It was everywhere, man.
Yeah, that was an interesting angle, because it was like it was like kind of like a baseline camera shot or something. It was like looking up at Russ, and I was like, how the hell? Because I was here in Oklahoma City, and Maddie was in Utah, and I was thinking to myself, like, how the hell did he get this video?
And like, Utah, the seats in Utah are not there.
No, we sitting up top. No, that was a fan who I knew and I trusted, you know, and trusted me too, and sent it to me. They could have just put it out themselves, but they sent it to me, and I. Hey, thank you to that fan too in Utah. That was one of my biggest stories of the year, so that was crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that's one that went national, and you know, it kind of exposed some of the, you know, kind of the abuse that some of these guys are taking in Utah at these games, and you know, it's not just fans, you know. The fan went on TV and backed himself up and such, and it looked like the TV stations were perpetuating that this fan was innocent, or that there were also people, man, on Twitter trying to like back this fan or whatever. But then the players came out themselves. You know, it's Donovan Mitchell coming out saying, "Look, like this stuff happens. Like it's and that I thought was the strongest indication that this was something that needed to be addressed.
Yeah, y'all, because Donovan, you know, even with the story, even with his statement, you know, he released it actually before he even put it on the social media. They sent it to me. I put it out there first, man. So the whole situation, it was like, man, I couldn't leave my phone. My phone was just like going off. Like, I'm sure you guys know when you put something up, it's your fans just like, just imagine any of your top stories like times 10, man. It was just like crazy, man. It was a crazy situation, but it was like I really felt that it made an impact. I'm sure, you know, arenas are going to watch for more of those, type of situation. So that was something I felt good about, because even as an African American, you know, just, you know, I understand the verbal abuse that they were taking, and especially to be called a boy, and I understand his reaction, you know what I mean? So that was definitely a crazy situation, man.
Yeah, you know, I think it pushed forward the NBA's you know, kind of approach to this kind of stuff. It's just the zero tolerance approach to fans, and
kind of set the stage for then what happened with the Warriors and the Raptors too.
Yeah, absolutely. So once again, Russell Westbrook at the center of things.
Right.
What are we going to write about this year?
Right. Man, I know. That's crazy.
We'll find a way. He'll find a way to make it back into our lives, I assure you.
Right.
Eric, before we go, we got to get our Western Conference predictions, man.
Uh-huh.
I gave you a little homework. Are you ready to turn it in?
I found mine too.
I got you, man. So what y'all want my 1 through 8?
We're gonna start 1 through 8, and if my eyebrows raise a little bit, I'm gonna stop you and ask you to explain. you go ahead and you give the Thunder Buddies listeners your 1 through 8 in the Western Conference this year.
Okay, so this is who I got, man. I got the Clippers number 1.
Okay.
Everybody counting out Golden State, but I'm not ready to count them out. I got them number 2.
Stop. All right, here we go.
Yeah, no, I think Eric and I both have them like 6 or 7.
I've got them at 7.
I've got them at 7.
Today, somebody prove me otherwise, I'm not counting out Golden State.
Look, I get that. I just look at the Clay situation, and I want Clay to play a full season if I'm going to have them up at 2.
Right.
And I don't think he's going to play.
D'Angelo Russell, I'm not saying he's playing by far, but I mean, adding D'Angelo Russell, you still got Draymond Green, you still got a solid team. I can't write him off just yet. I know everybody's ready to write him off, and I could be wrong, but I'm not going to disrespect him just yet.
I'd absolutely be ready to move him up from where I have him at 7, but
yeah.
I don't think I'd go quite as far as two. Not with Denver. That's my thing. I think Denver's going to be really good.
Yeah, I think they'll be good too. So I got the Clippers, Golden State. I got Utah 3. I got Houston 4. Mm-hmm. I got Denver 5.
Ooh,
Portland
okay.
6.
Okay, a little drop for the Denvers. How do you think Denver falls from 2 to 5?
I think they caught a lot of people by surprise last year, early in the year.
Okay.
I think they had the beauty of not having a strong schedule early on. They had a lot of home games if you watched last year, and I don't think they're really gonna catch a lot of people by surprise like that this year. Everybody know, you know, how good they are, and I could be wrong. They could be too. You know what I mean?
But yeah, I'm on the Denver hype train.
Yeah, a lot of people on the hot train. You know, but I think they're entering kind of a different role this year, and I love Denver. My guy Monte Morris from Flint is out there, so I'm always, you know, watching him. But you know, that's just me being honest. I'm not sure, you know, if they don't have that same impact as they did last year. You know, so.
Well, when I tweet out this podcast, I'm going to say that I'm going to tweet at Monte Morris and say that you're doubting him. That's what I'm going to say.
No, I'm not.
I'm going to at Monte Morris and be like, hey, listen, your guy from Flint, Eric Woodyard, is saying that. The Denver Nuggets are trash.
That's gonna be the headline. Woodyard trashes Nuggets.
Yeah. Eric Woodyard.
I ain't ready to count out Golden State just yet, man. They just they solid, you know. But after that, I got the Lakers in San Antonio.
Okay, Lakers, San Antonio sounds about right. Both Maddie and I are not high on the Lakers. I am really not high on their core. And that was even before the Boogie injury.
The Boogie, yeah.
And their depth.
And they they just added Dwight Howard, who is basically like throwing a napalm in a locker room at this point.
Yeah.
I'm just not sold on the Lakers. I could even. I'm not going to go as far as to not put them in the playoffs. That would have to mean an injury would have to happen.
I think they're going to go in the playoffs. You know, and I think LeBron gonna have an MVP type season.
I agree.
I think he got a lot to prove. You know, even last year, people writing him off. I'm like, man, as you look at his numbers, I mean, it wasn't a LeBron James type, you know, all NBA year, but he still was a third team all NBA player. I'm just saying, like first team all NBA or nothing like that. But he still put up amazing numbers. He took a little dip defensively and stuff like that. But I think he's not ready to. Like people just saying, like he just washed up. I'm like, I don't know what y'all like. He about to come out and just prove like. I think he got another year in him.
And he's coming into the season so rested.
Yeah,
he is. I think he's gonna really shine this year. It's just about the help that he's gonna get. Will he get help? You know, will Cole step up? You know what? You know, will Anthony Davis step up? You know, that's what I'm kind of worried about too. Because Anthony Davis, we know he shined out there when it wasn't a lot of pressure and expectations. But now you in LA, and that's a whole other level of expectations out there.
Well, everyone in Utah is super high on Kuz still.
Yeah. I think he's gonna, you know, I think Kuz gonna do his thing out there. Another one of my Flint guys I'm always playing. But I think Kuz he bust his butt this summer, work with a shooting coach, and I hope he just rests that ankle up. You know, that's why he had to drop out of Team USA. But I think he's gonna really have a solid year.
All right, this is where it got fun for me last week when we were talking about the bottom eight in the Western Conference, because. Mm-hmm. I'm in love with this Pelicans roster. And I don't know where
I was just about to say that. I got them right out. I could see them, you know, damn near making the playoffs, man. I mean, if they get in the right, that team is solid, man. I mean, they get hot, and, I mean, you never know. You know, you don't know what Zion's going to pan out to be. I think Favors out there is solid. You know, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram. They got a nice little roster out there. I like that team. That's a fun team.
Yeah, and they added your guy Derek Favors.
So, I mean, people sleeping on, you know, I don't think they're really going to do much, but – Nobody's talking about Dallas either. You know, I think Dallas is, you know, Luka Doncic and Porzingis. You know,
you and Maddie.
Nobody said anything about them.
You and Maddie.
I had them 10, and both Eric and Barry were like, I'm sorry, what? Yeah, so I spent a good chunk of two podcasts ago defending the Mavs.
I can't get on the Dallas train until I see Kristaps. And then I still have concerns about their defense. Eric, where do you have what's your bottom eight look like?
So I'll say New Orleans. I would say Dallas. I would say Sacramento. Probably Minnesota after that. After that, it's pretty much a toss up. Maybe Memphis, Dallas. Man, but you got Memphis, Phoenix, and
Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City, yeah. Yeah, I'm on the OKC podcast. How do I even mention OKC?
because they traded Russell Westbrook and Paul George and Jeremy Grant.
Crazy,
that's why.
Man. But yeah, so I would say my bottom eight. I said New Orleans, Dallas, Sacramento, Minnesota. I say OKC after that. Memphis.
Phoenix.
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of a national kind of feeling right now that the Thunder is going to be third to last. I think they're going to go higher than that. I think they'll be better than the Timberwolves and
there
the
are just so many what ifs.
There's
for
a
them.
Lot of what ifs.
It's like, okay, is
Chris Paul
Chris Paul going to be there for more than a few months? Is
right.
You know, Gallo going to be there for more than a few months? That could drastically change what their prospects. I had them pretty high, but that was assuming that they're going to hold on to those guys.
All right. What y'all think about the rookie out there, Darius Bazley? What y'all think? How y'all think he'll adjust?
I just talked to him the other day. He has a lot of potential. He has insane ball handling skills for his size.
Uh-huh.
I think he could be really special. It just depends on how well they develop him. And they're clearly pouring resources into development if you look at the coaches, the assistant coaches that they just hired. But, you know, he still has a ways to go. You know, he's only played high school ball competitively.
Right.
So we'll see how that works. But talking to him seems very mature for his age.
Yeah.
He did that whole New Balance internship.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I seen him at the combine. I talked to him a little bit there, so I'm pretty excited to see how that happens. You know what happens with him as well.
I like him. I like him a lot more now than I did when they drafted him, and it's because I see more of a path to him playing now than I did previously.
Right.
Especially if they trade Gallinari.
Right.
If they trade Gallinari at any point in the season, they could start Bazley.
Right.
And once you start trading those guys, you're not worried about whether or not. You know, Bazley goes out there and gives you numbers. You're looking for development. You're looking for opportunities, repetitions. And
right.
I think that's a guy who could get a similar benefit from the way that the Thunder played Domantas Sabonis as a rookie at power forward. Like Maddie said, the ball handling at his size is very intriguing. You got to wait and see on who he's going to guard and how. But he's got a skill set, and he's left-handed. That could that could be interesting at his age. You know, in terms of like the physical comp, you don't want to go as far as to say like he has like the length and as like a Lamar Odom, but he's got a left-handed stroke and he can handle the ball and pass at that size.
Right.
Like it's an intriguing skill set.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I want to see what's going to work out. I want to see what's going to happen out there. For real.
Yeah. So. It'll be fun. It'll be fun to see how much playing time he's going to get. I think he is going to play with the Thunder all season. I don't think he'll be a guy that spends a ton of time in the G League. But it'll be fun to see. I think he's one of the more intriguing guys on the team, along with you know Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Terrence Ferguson.
Right.
Eric, what you got on the schedule for today? You going to go?
I'm just hanging out today, man. Just enjoying a little time, you know, my son and family and everything. And, man, I'm just relaxing. I know because when it kick back up, you know, it kick back up. So you got to enjoy this downtime, you know, when you got it. So I'm just chilling, honestly, man.
Heard that.
Absolutely. Eric, thanks for joining us on the pod, man.
Man, I appreciate y'all, man. Y'all keep up the great work out there, man. You too, Maddie. You keep up the great work.
And, you too.
Yeah, you know, just continue to keep up the great coverage. You know, I love everything you guys doing out there.
I'll see you in Utah first week of the season.
Bet, man. Let's definitely hang out. Let's link up while we out there.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on the Thunder Buddies podcast, part two of the Northwest Division. We will have a few more writers on next week. And in between now and then, subscribe, listen, and share on Apple Podcasts. And we will see you next week with more Western Conference, Northwest Division, all that good stuff. Thanks.